Appreciate so much Clint and Caleb, both leading the songs here at Crossroads for us, and appreciate all the instrumentalists and the time and the dedication that they put in to doing our music. It's such a blessing, learning new songs each week, and that's so important, I think, that we do that, just as we need to learn new truth from God's Word, and we need to be growing in God's Word. New songs also help with that too, and of course there's a great place for truth that we already know. We need to be reminded of it, just like in songs that we already know. It's great to be reminded of those, and it's great to learn new songs, and I really, really enjoyed those new songs tonight. Those were wonderful, and I appreciate them so much. If you want to get a head start, we're going to look at a lot of verses tonight, but Psalm 90 is where we're going to start. So if you want to go to the book of Psalms and go to Psalm number 90, that's going to give you a head start on where we're going to be. I think most all the verses tonight will be in the Old Testament. We're going to begin there, and next week we'll move from there. And this will definitely be a part two, I can tell you that right now. You guys are not surprised by that, are you? I can tell. But the subject that we're going to cover is really, it's hard to cover in 1 week, to be honest with you. It's the subject of, you know, are your days numbered on earth? When a saint of God dies, you'll inevitably, you'll hear somebody make the statement or something similar to this. You'll hear them say, well, it was his time to go, you know, or it was her time to go. And, you know, I think typically what they mean by that is that there was an ordained time, and you know, maybe that's not what they mean. Sometimes they may not mean that, but that's kind of the idea you get, is there's this preset time and it's your time and that you go, you know. And you hear that a lot. If there's like a tragic accident occurs, you'll hear somebody say, well, there's just no way to explain it except it must have been his time to go, you know, and you hear that a lot too. It's amazing how many ideas get commonly repeated, you know, as fact. They get repeated as fact when the Bible really teaches nothing of the kind. So the question tonight I want to pose is, does the Bible teach that there's an appointed day of death already predetermined by God for you? There's already a date of death predetermined by God for me and for every person. Does the Bible teach that, you know, every individual's days are numbered before they're ever even born? Or does the Bible teach that our time on earth is due to other factors, such as our actions, our choices, our decisions, people's prayers, genetics, other people's choices they make that affect us? Does the Bible teach that our days on earth are affected by all those things? Now, you say, well, why is this important? It's a very serious question, to be honest with you, because, and it's something that, quite frankly, I don't know that I would have even been prepared 15 years ago to teach this. You know, people forget pastors are a work in progress too. Amen. And, you know, I grow and I learn, and I'm growing in God's Word every year, and I'm learning as I go too. And you know, this is something that has come through years of studying. I've thought about this issue a lot. And I just really, really dove in several weeks ago and began to study this. And I was studying it at the house and studying it at the office and everywhere. And it's actually a very serious question. And here's why it's important. Because our beliefs on this subject will inevitably affect our choices and our everyday lives. All right, let me give you a couple of examples. Here's one example. Let's say that a person, a Christian, let's say they've got a habit that habit is proven to be destructive to people's bodies. And it could be anything. There's a lot of things we can do that we know are going to harm our bodies. Now, if that person has ingrained in their belief system that death has been predetermined and that nothing's going to alter that predetermined date that's your time to go, then they're probably going to conclude, what's the harm? You know, I mean, yeah, I know they say this is destructive to my body, but what, and have you ever heard this? Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And you've heard that. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. Or how about this one? How about this one? If it's meant to be, you ever hear that? If it's meant to be, then this habit will make me sick and I'll die. But if it's not meant to be, then it won't. And you hear that statement a lot. If it's meant to be, what does that infer? That infers that God has this whole map already outlined, you know, before you were born, and you're kind of playing out, you're just kind of a puppet that's playing out the plan. Thank you. Get a little tag team preaching going here. But yeah, you're just kind of a puppet that's playing out that script. That's the word I was looking for, actually, script. That you're playing out the script that God's already wrote. And that's the idea. Well, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. You ever hear that? Now, by the way, there is a name for that philosophy. And it's called fatalism. No, I'm serious. I'm not kidding around. That is the name for that. Fatalism is defined. You can look it up when you go home. Go to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Look up fatalism. Fatalism is defined in Webster's as a belief, quote, that events are fixed in advance so that human beings are powerless to change them. Events are fixed in advance so that human beings are powerless to change them. The doctrine of fatalism is prevalent in many Christian circles. It's prevalent in a lot of churches here in our area. The doctrine of fatalism. Now, they don't call it that, by the way, right? But that's what, in essence, it is. By the way, fatalism is a major part of the religion of Islam. It's a major part. Fatalism is a major part of the religion of Islam. And this is how radical Muslim groups are able to recruit young men to commit suicide missions and blow themselves up with bombs, you know, to blow up other people that they hate. And the reason why they did it, they convinced them, their leaders convinced them, look, young man, you have been chosen for this assignment by Allah or whoever. You have been chosen to do this. And if you refuse, you're simply going to die another way that day because, you know, this is what you've been chosen to do this. And so, you know, that's fatalism. If you don't do it, you're just going to die another way that day. In Christian circles, fatalism can, obviously it's not used to get people to commit suicide missions, but fatalism can have serious repercussions. When fatalism seeps into Christian circles, it can lead to a very passive attitude. Very passive. And what I mean by that is this. Example. A Christian may contract a disease. By the way, do Christians get sick? Yeah. And do Christians get diseases? Yes. And we get terminal illnesses and all those things. So a Christian may contract a disease or an illness, and rather than just proactively fight for their life and do everything they can, they kind of succumb to it. They just get a real passive attitude. Because this has been ingrained in their mind. They conclude, well, if it's my time, it's my time. You know, if it's not my time to go, then God will heal me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. You know that song, right? Fatalism. The future is not ours to see. So what do? You just go through life. Que sera, sera. Just whatever. You just do whatever. right? You do whatever because, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And that's what it can happen, is that you get this real passive attitude about prayer, about life, about the Lord. And that's very easy to let happen when that mindset gets in you. So do y'all see tonight how that our doctrinal outlook affects our everyday lives? Do y'all see that? Your doctrinal beliefs affect your everyday life. That's why we emphasize around here at Crossroads this thing of doctrine, sound doctrine. Because sound doctrine isn't just something to fill up your head with knowledge. When we talk about sound doctrine, we're talking about your belief system. And you've got, you know, humanists have their doctrine. Evolutionists have their doctrine. And Muslims have their doctrine. And every religion has their doctrine. They've got their beliefs. Now, we, of course, here at Crossroads believe that our doctrine should be derived by rightly dividing God's Word. We believe our doctrine should come from the Bible, rightly divided. And so that's what we look to. We look to God's Word as our source of doctrine. You don't look to Pastor Dan. You don't look to anyone else. You look to the Bible for your source of doctrine. But our doctrine, what you believe, affects your everyday life. It really does. These teenagers are precious. They're down here on the front row, a lot of them, and they're over here. And teenagers, your belief system will affect the way you live and the choices you make. You know, whether you marry a Christian, whether you stay pure, whether you just do destructive things to your body, whether, you know, what it, your belief system will determine your actions. Does that make sense? Is everybody with me on that? You understand? So the question then is this, okay, talking about how this thing of fatalism and all this affects our everyday lives. You begin to understand, okay, well, wait a minute. If our death on the earth is preset and it's already been foreordained when we're going to die and our days have been numbered, then you start to reason out and think, well, why should we take care of our bodies? Does that really have any effect? Should I take supplements? Should I take medications when the doctor says I need them? Should I have a surgery that could, quote, prolong my life, you know? Should I pray for my loved ones in the military? Does it make any earthly difference if I pray for them? You know? Or is all of it just a script that's already been written? And the days are already numbered. And it really doesn't matter what I do. Doesn't matter how I pray. Doesn't matter the choices I make. Doesn't matter how I treat my body. Doesn't matter, you know, if I want to go out and get drunk, get in a car and drive. Doesn't matter. My days have all been preset, preordained. Well, you can see how your belief system affects the way you live. It affects your outlook. It affects your attitudes. It affects your actions. So what I want to do is I want to examine the scriptures. I don't want to examine superstition or religion. We want to look at the scriptures. There's a lot of superstitious religion out there. But I want to look at the scriptures and see what the scriptures have to say about this crucial subject. There's really only one verse that someone who believes in that idea that your days are all numbered, there's really only one verse. I mean, there's some they can kind of maybe twist around, but you begin to, when you look at what the words say, it doesn't say that at all. They got to read it into it. And then there's one verse that we're going to look at next week that we're going to examine very carefully, that the King James Bible gives no indication of your days being preset. Other versions that have been translated give that indication. So we'll examine that next week. But for right now, I want to look at a whole bunch of evidence that basically says your days are not preset. They're not foreordained. Okay, let's look. Let's begin. We're going to begin in Psalm 90. Now, before I read this, look up here. Who was God's chosen people in the Old Testament? The nation of Israel. The Jews were God's chosen children. God worked on the earth through them. All throughout the Old Testament, was a Jewish man, because they were part of God's chosen people. So was a Jewish man or woman or child's lifespan, was it preset before they were born? Does the Bible indicate that the exact day that they were going to die, that was foreordained before they were born. Does the Bible indicate that? Well, let's examine. Let's go to Psalm 90, and now let's begin reading. Verse 10. Psalm 90, verse 10. Here the psalmist writes, "The days of our years are 80 years and 10. Now, does anybody know how many? That's a little confusing maybe to some of you, but what is 80 years and 10? A score is 20. 60. So 80 at 60 years and 10, 70. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years. Now, how many is 80? 80. Yet is their strength, those people's strength that live 80 years, he said, in the end, it's labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. So, according to this passage, under the law, under the Old Testament law, an obedient Jew could expect a minimum of 70 years of physical life on the earth. In other words, that was a normal lifespan even before modern day medication and surgeries. The lifespan, typical lifespan, was 70. And then he said, if by reason of strength they be 80. So 70 to 80 years was a normal lifespan way back when Moses wrote that psalm. Isn't it interesting with the modern day medicine and all the surgeries and all the stuff they got, that's still the lifespan today. It hasn't changed really. It's still about the same. But I want you to notice something here. A person under the law, a Jew, could expect a minimum of 70 years of physical life. But then notice the wording of that in verse 10. He says, the days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80. Notice, it did not say, and if by reason of God's sovereign will they be 80. It didn't say that. He says, if by reason of strength. The psalmist here assumes that some people are going to naturally have stronger bodies than others. Verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So I want you to notice here, he admonishes us to number our days. Us to number our days. God doesn't number our days. Rather, we are to number our days. What he's saying there in the context is you need to count every day of life. You need to count that as an opportunity to honor God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the brevity of life and consider the certainty and the speediness of death. He says, teach us to number our days. So, here's the next question. What about a member of God's chosen nation that ignored God's law and rebelled against it? He said the normal lifespan was 70 to 80 years, 70, and if you just got a strong body, he said maybe 80, maybe more. But the normal lifespan is 70. But what about someone that lived in that nation and they had God's law and they rebelled against the law, they rebelled against God's word, and they didn't want to do what the Bible said? A disobedient Jew could expect their physical life to be cut short from the normal lifespan. Look with me at Psalm 55. Go back to Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 23. We'll go up to verse 22. Psalm 55, 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction, bloody, in other words, violent and deceitful men, violent, lying men, shall not live out, and what's that next phrase? Half their days. They will not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. The principle here is that a violent, deceitful, lying man that was living under that Old Testament economy, he could expect to not live out half of a normal lifespan. He says that he will not live out half of his days. Why? Because he's wicked, because he's deceitful, and because he's violent. He could expect his life to be cut short of a normal lifespan. Now, take your Bible and go to the right, a couple of books through Psalms and Proverbs to Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. All right, let's go. I told you we were going to turn quite a bit, but it's all going to be back here in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 7. This is an interesting verse. Look at Ecclesiastes 7:17. The Bible says, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish." And then look at this. "Why shouldest thou die?" And what's that next phrase? "Before thy time." Isn't that interesting? "Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" You say, see there, we all got a time to go. Well, wait a minute, there's a problem there. Right? What's the obvious problem? If you read into that verse that he's talking about some time God preset before the foundation of the world, if that's your idea, that we all got a time to go, well, there's an obvious problem then with your theology, because why? Yeah, how can that guy go before his time? Right, if there's a time that's been preset, how's he go before his time? That goes against the whole thinking of the whole thing. So what is that talking about? I mean, how can a wicked guy die before his time? I mean, according to the religion of Calvinism, man, he's got to go when it's his time. So how's this guy going before his time? Well, that's not at all what the verse is talking about. Do you see how they read stuff into verses? You can read into that, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before the foreordained time, before the foundation of the world, that you should die?" But that's not what it says. It says, "Why shalt thou die before thy time?" Well, what's thy time? The time is obviously referring to a normal lifespan. He's saying, why do you want to be wicked? And why do you want to die before a normal lifespan is lived out, before thy time? How many of you have ever heard that expression? I mean, we still use that today, right? If a young person dies, what do we say? We say, boy, he died before his time, don't we? That's the expression there. In other words, the guy's not going to live out a normal lifespan. Did you know that God told Israel that he would lengthen their days on the earth if they were obedient to the law? Did you know God said he'd lengthen their days? Go to 1 Kings, okay? 1 Kings chapter 3, and I want to give you a few examples of this. 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings 3, you're going to go to the left quite a bit, all right? 1 Kings 3, and look at verse 14. 1 Kings 3:14. 1 Kings 3:14. "And if," this is God talking to Solomon, King Solomon. "And if," notice the conditional word, "if." God says, "If thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I, God, will," say it with me, "lengthen thy days." Notice how his lifespan is tied to his actions. His lifespan here is going to be tied to whether or not he is going to obey God's word in God's statutes. Now again, we're in the Old Testament here, but I'm just wanting to set the principle in your mind that nowhere it does it indicate your, that the Old Testament, that their days were preset. They were God's people, but you know, with they were God's chosen nation. But nowhere is that indicated. God said, I'll lengthen your days. Go with me now back a few more books to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. All right, let's look at verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. God said to Israel, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, and everybody say the next two words, choose life. Choose life. Boy, you cannot beat the free will of man, can you? Choose life. Look at it. Choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. And notice, he is thy what? Length of thy days. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Notice how their length of days is tied to their obedience to the law. Go back to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's begin reading in verse 18. Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them. They were to teach God's word to their children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. Now look at verse 21. If they did that, notice, why did they need to put the law of God, God's word, right at the forefront of their lives and their homes? Verse 21. That your days may be what? Multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. They were to obey God's word, put it at the forefront of their heart, their mind, their souls, their bodies, their lives, their families, their homes, their children. Why? That their days may be what? Multiplied. Notice how they could multiply their days if they would obey. Now go back to Exodus 23. Keep going to the left. Go back a couple books. Exodus 23. Exodus, second book of the Bible, chapter 23. Exodus 23, 25. Exodus 23, 25. It says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. He's talking to Israel now, not us. This is Israel. And then notice verse 26. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. Notice, the number of thy days I will fulfill. This is a conditional agreement. God says, if you'll do this, I'm going to fulfill your days. I'm going to multiply your days. I'm going to lengthen your days. We saw multiply your days. We saw lengthen thy days. We saw fulfill thy days. And they were all conditional. Nowhere does he indicate they've all been preset back before they were born. They are conditional. Now, was God playing games with these people? I mean, was God playing games? I mean, did he not mean any of that? Had he already predetermined the earthly life of each person and it didn't matter what they did? I mean, either God's playing games or we take it for what it means. Their lifespan was clearly contingent on their actions. Now, I want to emphasize, I'm not into the church age yet. I'm not into our church age. We're going to get there. And we're going to see what the Scripture says about written directly to us. Right now, I'm just trying to lay a foundation for you, and I'm just trying to get you to see that in the Old Testament, God's chosen nation, God's chosen people, there was not some preset date for them. Clearly, their lifespan would be contingent on their actions in regards to God's law, indicating that there was no set time for each individual to die. If there was, all of these promises and warnings ring very hollow. And they would appear as if God's warnings and God's promises were nothing but fluff. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter number 3 now. Let's go. You were in Psalms. Go to the next book, Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs 3. Let's look at several verses here. Proverbs 3, and notice with me verse number 1. Proverbs 3, 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they, God's commandments, add to thee. Question, does that verse teach that we can link, that Israel could lengthen their days through obedience? Yes or no? Clearly, he says that if you will take my commandments and obey them, length of days and long life, they'll add to thee. Skip down to verse number 15. It's a discussion here of wisdom. He's talking about wisdom that comes from God's word. And verse 15 says, she, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Then notice, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Again, he's writing to the nation of Israel here about their law. Go to chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 10. I know a lot of you are writing away. I see y'all writing out there, getting these cross references. Chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be what? Many. Notice, contingent on obedience. Go with me to chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 11. Chapter 9, verse 11 says, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be what, church? Increase. They could increase their lifespan through obedience to God's law. Go to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 27. It says, the fear of the Lord, and what's that next phrase? Prolongeth days. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be what? Now, can that get any clearer? Can that get any clearer? No, I don't think it can. I don't think that can get any clearer. Now, take your Bible and go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 20. We'll end with this tonight. We'll pick up here next week. 2 Kings chapter 20. Oh, the things we hear and repeat. You know, the things that we hear, the things we repeat, you know. Look at chapter 20, 2 Kings 20, and look at verse 1. This is King Hezekiah. He is the leader of the nation of Israel. In those days were Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, and I want you all to say that next phrase with me, thus saith the Lord. This is God talking. Set thine house in order, and this is God talking, for thou shalt die and not live. Now that is God's decree. God decreed that. God said to the prophet Isaiah, you go, you tell the man, his time's up, that's it. He's going to die. He better set his house in order. God was gracious enough to warn him and said, get your house in order, you're going to die. You're not going to live. That was God's declaration, God's decree, God's decision, whatever you want to call it. Verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And he really had. I mean, Hezekiah had done, he was one of the best kings that Israel had. And the Bible says, Hezekiah wept sore. Verse 4. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord. Here it is again. Thus saith the Lord. The God of David thy father, notice what God told him to say. I have what? I've heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will what? I'll heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days, notice what did God add there? 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the land of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now, look up here. Hezekiah is sick with a fatal illness. He's terminal. He's sick. Isaiah the prophet comes to tell him, hey buddy, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And this was thus saith the Lord. But Hezekiah did not die from the sickness. He ended up living 15 years more. Why? Why did he live 15 more years? Y'all read it. Why did he live 15 more years? He prayed. He prayed, he sought God sincerely, he wept. The reason that God cites for extending his life 15 more years, he said, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. That's the reason God gives. There is no indication from the text that Hezekiah's first date with death or his second date with death was something that God had decided before Hezekiah was ever born. If that was the case, then which one was it? You know what I mean? Which one was it? Because God told him clearly, let's say the Lord, you're going to die. So was that the preset date or was the second one the preset? No, that's all, again, that's superstition. There is no indication from that text that the first date or the second date was something that God had decided and written in stone before Hezekiah was ever born. If a person would say, well, obviously the later date was the date that God had preordained. Well, then we're faced with the question, so was God just playing games with Hezekiah when he said, thou shalt die? Was he just playing games? Was God... You know, was God not sincere? You know, was he lying? God's not a liar. Can I get an amen? Amen. So, you know, was God... No. God was dealing with him in present time with where he was right then. But then based on his response and his actions, God said, okay, I've changed my mind. I'm going to do this for you. What if Hezekiah had not prayed? What if he had not sought God? Would he have died? The clear indication of Scripture is that he would have. Which also proves, like all the other verses I've given you tonight, there is no preset date for each person's death. Now, that's all Old Testament. That's Israel. I understand that. So what about church age believers? Is there a preset date for us to die? Well, next week we're going to look at that, all right? But tonight I wanted to lay the foundation, and then next week we're going to come back. By the way, somebody may say this. Somebody may say to you, well, maybe God hasn't foreordained when you're going to die, but God knows everything, past, present, and future, so he knows the day you're going to die. So really, that's just semantics. Then it is preset. So what about that? What about the issue of what people call God's foreknowledge or His omniscience? We're gonna spend time. We're gonna have fun with that too. And we're gonna look at that. And does God choose to foreknow things that have never happened, or you know what color socks you're gonna wear today? You know, so we're gonna look at all that in light. Hey, we're not gonna look at it by superstition or religion or Calvin. We're gonna look at it in accordance with the Bible. Okay, we're gonna look at what the Bible says about those things. And I'll just whet your appetite a little bit. There are verses in this Bible that says that people did things that never even entered into the mind of God. Wow. You say, wow. I just don't know what to think about that. We'll come back next week. Amen. Next Sunday night, we'll pick up right here. All right, so I hope you'll be back, and we'll continue to examine this. But I wanted to lay a foundation for you tonight, and I wanted to kind of dispose out of your mind from Scripture this thought that it's all preset, preordained, that's it. There's nothing you can do. No sense in fighting sickness. No sense in fighting your disease. No sense in quitting a bad habit because it's all foreordained anyway. I wanted to get all that out of your mind. And I wanted you from the Scripture to see that's religion. That's not the Bible. And so we're going to look at this some more next week, okay? So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer right now. You know, really, this makes us a lot more responsible, doesn't it? This makes mankind a lot more responsible for each day of our life, that we make good decisions and that we honor and glorify the Lord with the decisions that we make. You cannot fall back and say, well, okay, I'm going to go out, get drunk, you know, get in a car and drive it, and you know what, if it's meant to be, it's, you know, I'm going to die anyway. No, you can't fall back on that. You are responsible for your actions. And you, as I preached this morning, you will always have repercussions from the decisions that you make. There are consequences for the choices that we make. That's a theme of the Bible. There are consequences for the decisions and the choices that you make. And so we need to think about that. And this truth makes us much more accountable and responsible for what we're doing each day. Father, we pray now, God, that you will do a mighty work through your word. I pray, Father, that you'll help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. And, Father, to make sure that our thoughts and our doctrine is in line with your word. Because we know, Lord, that our doctrine is going to affect our world outlook. It's going to affect our actions, our attitudes. So, Father, help us, Lord, to have the right heart, to have the right attitude. And, Lord, we thank you so much for the clarity of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. As the piano plays right now, let's just examine our own life. And let's think about our own life. And let's think about those decisions that we're making on a daily basis.